Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Kat McNamara. Kat has many credits in film and TV and on stage, but she is best known for her roles on Shadowhunters, Maze Runner, Happy Land, The Fosters, and R.L. Stine's Monsterville Cabinet of Souls. Kat, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for coming
over. Of course, my pleasure.
So when did you know you wanted to be an actor?
You know, it sounds kind of like a storybook in a sense, but I never wanted to be an actor when I was a kid. I didn't even know that that was a job that people could do, to be honest. My whole family's in science and medicine, and I was a huge math nerd, so economics was my world. Business, economics, that kind of application of math. And I wanted to go into that field. And I was all set to kind of do that in my head, but then I was also a dancer as a hobby. And I ended up running into a family friend who was directing a community theater show, needed a dancer. And I said, well, sure, I'll try it. I was the kid who would do anything. I'm like, sure, let's see what this is like over the summer. It might be fun. And I will never forget the moment I stepped on stage on opening night because something just hit me like a brick wall. I had this moment of clarity where I went, wait a minute. This is what I was put on this earth to do. This is what I have to do for the rest of my life is tell stories and create characters and be a part of this kind of creative process.
Oh, I just had full body chills hearing you tell that story because I can feel the truth of it.
Well, thank you. And it's one of those things I've never had a moment of clarity before or since like that, but I feel like everybody's put on this earth to do something. And the fact that I figured that out pretty early on, I feel very fortunate.
That's a beautiful thing. It's also a neat illustration of something that I've noticed a long time ago, which is that just because you're really good at something doesn't mean that that's what you should do. Like,
right.
You're really good at the whole math and science and economics and that direction. And I noticed you ended up with a degree in business.
I did, yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit. But that doesn't mean that that's what you should do for a living.
Right.
Just because you're really good at it and maybe even love it.
Well, it's true. And I do love it. And I always will. But I honestly couldn't imagine doing anything else as a career than what I'm doing right now.
You found your spot.
Yeah.
So, did you have someone who inspired you? Or have you had people who've inspired you?
Oh, there have been so many people that have inspired me. I think my first biggest inspiration was the Kansas City theater community. Because it's such a lovely spot there. And growing up there was amazing to kind of... I always say I was raised artistically by the Kansas City theater community. Because it's one of those towns where everybody's a part of every part of production at some point. And you just learn work ethic and you see these artists just creating it for the love of it. And being really successful and making these amazing projects. And starting there was kind of the biggest and best inspiration that I've had.
I love that. You know, I'm a huge believer in community theater. That's where Dove started, too. I think there's something so beautiful about that. You've got people of all ages coming together because they're passionate about something. And there's often a huge amount of talent there.
It's true, yeah.
You know, just because they're not professional doesn't mean that they don't have crazy talent.
Right. And there's also, you know, there's a huge community theater there, but there's also a lot of regional professional theaters there as well.
Yep.
And so there's this town that's kind of all centered around the arts, and you don't realize it, but it's, you know, there's a huge opera house there. There's a wonderful ballet company. There's several visual artists as well. It's kind of a really great town to come from for the arts.
Mm, that's beautiful. And you're right. You can learn a lot of work ethic in that environment, too, even as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started? You know, I mean, I know you discovered, you know, dance when you got the invitation to step onto a stage, and then you were on Broadway at the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get from here to there? And then how did you end up in LA doing film and TV?
So I always say that my career and kind of my life has been a process of opportunities coming my way and me just saying, well, let's see where this takes me. And kind of just saying yes to things that come my way in life. And that's kind of been a good benchmark for where I should go next. But it started, you know, they bring in people from New York and from other towns to play the leads in some of the shows in Kansas City to bring an audience and things like this. I ended up working with a woman and getting very close with her on a show in Kansas City who ended up in A Little Night Music. And they needed an immediate replacement about a month after the show opened. And she said to them, well, what about this girl from Kansas City I just worked with? So they called me, and 2 days later, I was in New York auditioning for a Broadway show, and a week later, I was living in New York rehearsing for this show. I never thought I'd leave Kansas City, honestly. And moving to New York was kind of the scariest and most exciting thing I've ever done, and so I ended up there, did that show for a year, meant to stay in New York because I had fallen in love with it at that point, moved to LA because I got a job here, and 7 years later, I'm still living here. So it's one of those kind of just, sure, I'm going to go here now.
Unless you're shooting, you know, Shadowhunters in Toronto or something.
Exactly, like which now I've lived in Toronto for 3 years, and it's kind of been, you know, it's been a weird cycle of being nomadic and kind of being a part of the circus, but it's been so amazing, and I've learned so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a beautiful way of life for the right people. Mm-hmm. What a great story. Well, so do you wish you had a more normal childhood? And I only ask this because that's a question that so many people have of young actors. Like, I think a lot of parents of kids who want to be actors, they really worry that if, like, they support this dream, that their kid is going to ultimately regret not having a real, a so-called, everybody has a real childhood. It's
right.
all real.
Right, it's all real.
It's all real. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, a so-called normal childhood?
I feel like I did have a normal childhood mm-hmm. because I didn't start doing any of this professionally until I was 14 or 15, really. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I was little, I played softball. I was a Girl Scout. I went to dance class. I played in my backyard every night. I played in the street with my friends. You know, it's one of those things where I was just a normal kid until I suddenly kind of slowly discovered what I love and what became my passion. And, you know, my whole family being in science and medicine, they're incredibly supportive, but I'll never forget my mom. She would be, every couple of weeks when I first started this, she would be driving me to rehearsal and doing all of that and kind of check in and be like, so are you still having fun with this whole thing? Is it still fun for you? And she kept checking in, and eventually she got the idea that that wasn't going to change. But that was kind of the best way for her to do this, because she always assured me, she's like, look, the minute this isn't fun, you don't do this anymore. You know, as long as it's fun for you, go for it. Pursue your dream. Pursue your passion. See what happens. But just make sure it's always fun, and it always has been.
I love that. I am very much in that same camp myself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? What's important is being happy.
Exactly.
You know, and that could change. That could change for you 10 years from now still, too. You
don't know. Absolutely. And especially when you're a kid, you know, you have so many different interests that kind of come and go, but this one is stuck.
Might be on the right path, Kat.
I don't see it changing, but we'll see.
Well, so how important has training been for you? Have you done much in the way of training?
Yes and no. Like, I've been training in ballet since I was two. So that's kind of been a huge part of my life, and definitely here and there. Most of, you know, I never went to school for acting. I never did any of that. But I've had bits of training here and there. I feel like I've learned mostly on the job, which has been kind of the biggest learning experience, is through experience and through observation.
Yep.
And that, I think, has served me better than anything else. Or even, you know, sitting down with someone that I'm working with and picking their brain and kind of seeing what their experience has been. Or, you know, watching them and seeing how they do certain things and seeing what works for me. But everyone has a different way of coming about this. You know, I have several friends who have gone to college for theater or for acting or musical theater, and they learn so much, and they come out these incredibly skilled individuals. But then I know other people who have never had a acting class in their life, and they're equally as incredible in their own right. And that's what I love about this, is because it's, you know, it's a blending of everyone's own personal experience and whatever we need for the job and we learn for the job, and it works differently for every person.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
It's just not true that there's only one way or that there's a right way to do this.
Right. Well, 'cause you have to figure out how to access whatever you need in the way that works best for you. And every person is different emotionally and physically and mentally. And so, you know, however you get there, as long as you get to that point, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Exactly. That's beautiful. How did you find an agent and a manager then? Because that's like one of the biggest hurdles for young actors.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I found an agent, gosh, a long time ago. I think it was through, my first agent in LA I ended up with because of an acting class, actually. Because somebody had told me to take a class with Mitchell Gossett was my first LA agent, and I ended up taking a class with him, and I was still living in Kansas City doing all this. But then years later, when I was in New York working, I ended up sending him a note because he'd asked me to keep in touch, and I was like, hey, I've done this show, I've done this stuff now, you know, hope you're well. And he called me, and then I was represented by him for a very long time, and very happily so. And my manager was one that came through my own research, actually, because I'm very much one that feels like I need to do my own research, and I need to know kind of what I'm getting myself into. And I thought it was time to have a manager, and I spoke with my agent about it, and then I had a list of a few managers, and there was one company, two managers specifically, that I felt really strongly about. The people's careers that they'd started and things like this were all kind of, seemed right up my street. And I met with a few different companies, and as soon as I met these guys, I fell in love with them, and they were exactly what I thought they would be, and said exactly that, you know, we were on the same page without even speaking. And they're still my managers to this day, and I love them to death. So they're kind of a dynamic duo, and they're amazing.
That's beautiful. So at that point, you had an agent, and you had a fair amount of work under your belt. So mm-hmm. did you have your agent reach out to them and say, hey, we'd like to set up a meeting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it kind of worked that way, but it works differently for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get a manager first, some people go the opposite route, and some people have one or the other, or however it works. For me, I find this is the best kind of team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly right. Different people need different things, and it depends on where they are and, you know, what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. And how the people on the team work together as well.
Which is huge.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Well, so do you have any auditioning advice for people?
I think the best advice, and it seems so simple, is just be prepared and then relax and have fun. Because mm-hmm. somebody told me a long time ago, one of my friends in Kansas City, actually, who is an actor and who had been for several years, she told me, an actor's job is to audition. And you go in that room, and for those 10 minutes, you do what you love, and you create that character for those people in that room in that moment. And then you leave that room and you forget about it. And if it comes your way, that's awesome. And if it doesn't, it wasn't meant for you. And there's something else out there. And so that's kind of the mindset I've had this whole time.
I love that. I think that's really, really good advice. What about self-tapes?
Same thing. I would say lighting is a big deal. You know, to like make sure they can see you and hear you. But other than that, self-tape is a chance to kind of make it your own. And, you know, you still want it to have it standardized, but because you have the control over it, have some fun.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That is great advice. What has surprised you on this journey?
I think the one thing that surprised me is kind of how similar everyone is, in the sense that we're all here because we love what we do. You know, and this is something that Shadowhunters has taught me, because it's a production I've been a part of from the ground up. And it's, I've gotten to really intimately know everyone on the cast and crew. And I don't know, everyone says that our set is very unique in that sense, but everyone really is a family. And we all do take care of each other, because it's not an easy show to shoot always. We're working nights, we're in the snow, we're in the rain, we're cold, we're wet, we're, you know, whatever we are, we're bloody. It depends on the day what we are. We're covered in some kind of goo or
cold
something.
Cold and wet and bloody.
Exactly. Sometimes all at once and sticky and, you know, all of these things. Crying and yelling and there's swords. I don't know what's happening. But, you know, through that, we've all kind of taken care of each other, and we have an amazing camera crew who actually will take the time to, if they're doing something technical, if we ask, you know, what's that for, what does this do, or what's going on with this, they'll stop and explain it to us, and, you know, teach us, and that way we can kind of take advantage of every aspect of this show and learn, and that's something that, through that, I've learned that everyone is there because they have their art form that they love for one particular reason or another. And they're as passionate as I am about acting and creating characters, they're as passionate about making the lighting perfect or setting or doing something artistically beautiful with the cameras or, you know, creating these props that are functional and yet look amazing, and they take care of them, and, you know, the wardrobe, putting such thought and effort into every little detail. And it's blown my mind, really, to kind of see that firsthand.
That's a lovely thing to share, and I couldn't agree more, you know, and I think that people need to talk about that more, because part of what makes these, you know, shows and these films that we fall so madly in love with and that can change our lives in some cases, part of what makes that feel so real is not just the extraordinary actors, but all the other people who make it feel so real because of their talent and passion too.
Exactly. It's the creation of the environment around the acting that really brings it to life in a real way for people. And being a part of a show where every single person in every department is pushing themselves to make the show better and really trying to challenge themselves and each other to grow and change and learn from the past, you know, what's worked and what hasn't. And it's been an amazing, amazing gift.
That is beautiful. It is a gift. Let's talk about Shadowhunters for a minute.
All right.
What has been the most fun for you about being part of that show, which is really a very fun show to watch?
It is.
And you're terrific on it.
Oh, thank you. It's a fun show to make. And I think my favorite part has been the people. You know, the amazing family that we have, because that has been, I've seen these people more in the last 3 or 4 years than I have my own family. And so they've become my family. And I was thinking about this the other day. I started the show when I was 19. And by the time it's finished airing completely, I'll be almost 24. And that's a huge kind of transitional chunk of my life. You know, I kind of have gone from a teenager to an adult on the show. And it's been a chunk that I'll never forget, and a character I'll never forget. And I've made some lifelong friends on this, and I've really grown as an artist and as a human. And you know, being a part of a story that not only means so much to me, but means so much to the people that watch the show as well. All of that encompassing, all of the people involved has been my favorite, from the fans to all the way up to our executive producers. You know, it's been a huge gift.
That's lovely. Yeah. That reminds me of just the idea that, you know, what matters most in life is love, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And it's what I hear you saying, basically.
It's true. Well, and that's what our show's about, too, ultimately. You know, because, yes, we have all these supernatural characters, and, yes, nobody on the show's human anymore, the main cast. But it becomes this show where even given that, we're going through issues that are very human and very fundamentally relatable. And what I've seen in talking to, you know, doing conventions and talking to the people that watch the show as well, is that it helps people in that they can look at their own problems objectively for once and kind of separate themselves from something they're going through and watch someone else work through it and watch someone else overcome something. And then they themselves are inspired to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I can be a part of something that does that for someone, it's amazing. You know, so often we do these projects that we give our all to and we give part of ourselves to, and they go out in the world and nobody sees them. Yeah. And nobody, you know, people might watch them, but they might not really care. But then having a project that people are so passionate about and have opinions and they talk about it, and there's all this amazing fan art, you know, other artists are inspired to do things, and it's amazing to kind of be a part of this community that really ultimately is about love and acceptance and encouraging people to be who they are.
Doesn't get much better than that.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
What do you think is important and not important for success?
I think ultimately what is the definition of success, for me at least, and what's most important, is if you're doing something that you feel accomplished and you feel happy and you're fulfilled in it, and that's success, no matter what that is. Whether that's, you know, taking care of someone you love, or solving world problems, or putting on a play, whatever that is, as long as you feel like you are fulfilling whatever it is your purpose is, or at least working towards that, I think that's the most important thing, to feel successful in any sense, no matter what you do.
I like that you included, or at least working towards that.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people beat themselves up because they're not where they want to be yet. They have something in mind, they're working toward it, but they're not there, and so they make themselves wrong. But it's like, man, if you're working toward it...
Listen, I am a workaholic a perfectionist, so constantly I'm like, I want to be here, I want to be doing this, I want to get there, and I realize that you know, I've come a long way, and I'm always still working. I will never be finished working on my craft and myself and what it is that I want to accomplish.
But you're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, I think.
One foot in front of the other.
Yes. So how do you stay positive and focused? Because you seem like a very positive and focused person.
Well, thank you. I was kind of raised that way. My mom and my grandparents are the most positive people I know. They deal with everything with silliness and joy and laughter and fun and this levity that, yes, there's a gravitas to things that matter, but there's a levity that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, most things people worry about really aren't that important. And that's what you have to keep remembering, is that in the grand scheme of things, a lot of our problems are really small. And the worrying is not worth the time and the energy that it takes. You could use that time and energy to find a solution instead and to move past it and work towards something better. And that's kind of how I've always tried to do it, because anything else is just counterproductive. I don't really have the time to focus on the negative.
Which is part of how you are where you are at the age of...
Well, exactly. There's no point in beating yourself up about anything that you could worry about or that could be negative. You know, just find a way to look at the silver lining, because there's always a silver lining in every situation.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is. I am all about that. I agree completely. You landed in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I was 15.
15, landing in Hollywood from Kansas City.
Well, by way of New York, yeah.
Which isn't exactly a direct stop from Kansas City.
No.
So you've been in New York for a while.
Yeah, I took a little detour.
little Broadway.
Yeah.
How was that landing here? What was that like for you?
It was a real culture shock, which I'd had already one culture shock going from Kansas City to New York, and I'd adjusted to New York, and then came to LA, and it was, again, a completely new world. You know, I foolishly thought, I'm like, well, I don't need to have a car out here. I can just walk everywhere. Quickly found out that was not the case. This is pre-Uber. This is, like, everything. So, you know, it became one of those situations of, okay, now I have to figure out how this town works. And I have to figure out what's going on here. But again, it's just still a learning process, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have you had any challenges along the way?
Oh, always. Every day. But that's kind of the fun of it.
It is,
you know,
isn't it?
And that's again, that's the thing that Shadowhunters has taught me too, because I've had to learn so much. I didn't know how to throw a punch. I didn't know how to hold a sword. I knew almost nothing about green screen and, you know, all of these other wire work and all these other things that we do, or even just being a part of this kind of TV show and this pace that we're working at and this kind of schedule. You learn so much so quickly, and every new project and every new thing that you go about has its own challenges and its own difficulties and its own kind of things that you're presented with. But that's my favorite part, because you grow and you learn and you change and you improve, and it constantly broadens your horizons.
Love it. Gives you more tools for the next challenge.
Exactly.
How do you handle rejection and haters on social media? That's like a big deal for just, like, normal people.
Yeah.
And then for people in the public eye, it's like that, but then with the volume turned up.
Again, yeah. And again, you just have to realize that, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And you're only, you know, you can only be made feel inferior by the people that you give that power to. And a lot of times, you just can't let it hold that much weight. You know, a lot of these things, they don't even mean anything, or they're a comment that's been translated poorly, or something that it doesn't mean what you think it does, because, you know, irony and sarcasm don't translate on, I've learned, text messages or social media. It's a lesson I've had to learn. I'm a very, you know, I love making puns, and sometimes they don't work. Sometimes my humor doesn't translate. But you just have to realize that if you in your own heart are doing what you know is right and you know is good for you, and you're being who you truly are, there's no need to let anyone make you feel inferior because of that.
I like that. I hope everybody listening takes that to heart, because
yeah,
that is true for everybody.
Absolutely. No matter who you are, what you love, or what you do, or who you love, just be yourself and put your own gifts and positivity out in the world, and don't let anyone tell you that it's wrong.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You've done a lot of different projects. Like, yeah, a lot. Like, your IMDb is fascinating because it's all over the place.
Of course.
But you've done some work for Disney, and some of your earliest work was on the channel.
That's what brought me out to L.A., was a Disney Channel pilot.
Wait a second. Was that the...
Madison High.
Madison High. Yeah. That was actually one of the first things that Dove ever auditioned for.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what a small world.
I know. It was like, oh my gosh, that looked like such a cool project, too.
It was really fun. And it was such a cool thing to be thrown into because it was a musical and there was dancing and singing and these crazy characters and all of this stuff. And it was like the epitome of Disney Channel. You know, I was thrown right into it and I loved every second. And I was playing this character that was completely different than me. And I'd never worn high heels. And, you know, I'm dancing downstairs in high heels in this dress. And it was so much fun. And I met some of my favorite people on it as well. So, and of course, Disney Channel has been so lovely to me. And I still have friends there, you know, that I see from time to time here and there.
That's right. That's right. Actually, when we were doing Dove's first movie, Cloud Nine, yeah, the Benwards.
Oh, and I love the Benwards.
The Benwards love you.
So Luke was like the first person I met in L.A.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, we were a part of that family from the very beginning, and it's kind of, it was such a wonderful welcome to L.A.
You know, yeah, and that's what's so special that people don't talk about is these relationships. They can be lifelong. You meet people, you know, through doing random projects together, and you can meet lifelong friends that way.
It's true. It's kind of been a weird journey. And then what you find is how small the world is, ultimately. Because you'll work with someone, and you'll meet someone, and then your next project, you'll meet someone else that they know or that knows. So it's just, the world becomes smaller the more people you meet in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
It is. It's really fun, too. It's one of my favorite things about it.
Yeah.
Actually. So if you weren't an actor,
uh-huh,
what would you do?
I would probably, if I wasn't an actor, and this is something I'm wanting to do, is kind of branch into writing or directing or something like that, too. Because having worked with so many great directors on Shadowhunters, I've learned a lot about that. And I have a real interest in that side as well. But outside of the entertainment industry, I would probably be in business. I would be either running my own business or financially operating another one. Or that's what I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to be a CFO. I wanted to be a financial advisor. I wanted to be an economist. I wanted to go into that field. Honestly, I'd probably be in developmental economics. Because I took a class in that in college and absolutely loved it. I found it so fascinating. It's such an interesting industry, and it's one where you can really help people as well. And that's something that kind of have combined everything I want in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe later on you can do a little something with that.
Maybe. Well, honestly, that is something, you know, I'm currently an ambassador for Girl Up, and I'm working on that side of things as well. Because through social media and through, you know, being in this industry in the way that I am, you're given a little bit of a voice. And I want to use that to do some good in the world. I don't want to let that go to waste.
I love that. Well, let's loop back for a second to your school situation.
Yeah.
You graduated with honors, by the way, from high school at 14 and then graduated again from college at 17, honors again with a degree in business.
Yeah.
And you were working steadily throughout that time. Mm-hmm. So how did you manage that exactly? That's amazing.
I'm a workaholic and a huge nerd, and I don't need a lot of sleep. That's the nuts and bolts of it. But I had an amazing teacher when I was in preschool, actually, who saw this spark for learning in me and really fostered that and really pushed me to become passionate about learning and made it always something that was never a chore. It was always a world of wonder and fun and discovery. And so I've always loved school because it's always been framed in that way for me. And I did school through correspondence and online, and not because of working, but because of this teacher that pushed me so far so early on. So I was kind of able to go at my own pace, and schooling was always my thing. It was always something that I had initiative to do myself, for myself. And that made it something that I always was passionate about. And I still went to, you know, the public school for recess and lunch and art and music and before and after school activities and field trips and all that stuff. So I did all the fun social stuff with my friends, and then I would go home and dive into my work. And that's I didn't even mean to graduate early, but I did, and I didn't want to stop going to school at 14. So I went straight into university.
That's amazing. Well, it's very impressive.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any advice for kids who want this life?
Make sure you really love it. That's, I think, my biggest piece of advice, and make sure it's always fun. You know, whether it's being an actor or going into another aspect of the entertainment industry, because there's so many jobs that you can do in this world. But whatever your passion is, find something you really love and pursue it. And if it becomes not fun, figure out what is fun and do that. But, you know, never stop learning and never stop growing and never let anyone squash your dreams. And I know it sounds so simple, but that really is the core of it.
Yeah, that is brilliant advice. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Just thank you to everyone that's been there, both, you know, behind the scenes and on social media and everything else. I've had largely a really wonderful, positive experience in this industry, and I think that has to do with the people I've been surrounded with. And it's something I'm always going to cherish.
People who want to follow Kat should follow her on Instagram. And your Instagram is?
KatsMeow.
And your Twitter?
Kat_McNamara.
And your Facebook?
Official Catherine McNamara.
And those are all verified.
Indeed they are.
Thanks, Kat.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoyed the podcast, take a second and subscribe. It is so easy. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. Don't miss it. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that will save you thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, invest in a consultation session with me over phone or Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, whichever one you choose, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. I work with parents who want to help their child become a happy, successful actor, inside or outside of Hollywood, and I can help you. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.